We covet the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our services would be dead without it. The words we would say without the Holy Spirit is as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It wouldn't have a right sound. So thank the Lord this morning for His Spirit that is holy, and that it can be with us, it can fill the empty pews, it can bless, it can anoint. So we're depending on the Holy Spirit this morning to minister unto us. We have a title this morning for our little thought, sacrificing as unto the Lord. So before we really come to that thought, I have considered the whole Bible. Do you think that there is a theme, a general theme of the whole Bible? I think there is. I think there are general theme of the whole Bible has to be supreme love. The reason that we would judge that is that it was the love of God that even allowed the Bible to be written. It was the love of God that considered all of mankind and what they needed, and He had a plan, and it was His love that made that plan work. Because the word of the Lord says that He loved the whole world and gave His only begotten Son, that you and I might be saved, thank the Lord. But as I was thinking on these things, I said, well, closely behind that, or following love, it'd have to be faith. We can't make heaven without faith, and the scripture says that we need to have a faith that is pleasing unto the Father. And I'm thinking a lot about what is pleasing unto the Lord. We have to have a measure of faith. And we have to, and we need, not, we just need it to have a developing faith, a growing faith, an active faith. And only the Lord can help us to have faith. But we have to ask for it. We need to seek for it. Because the word of the Lord says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. So He's pleased. He's pleased if we have a divine love in our life. We feel His love. The scripture tells us that He won us by His love. He loved us before we loved Him. And then without faith, I cannot please Him. So I have to seek for faith. And then following faith, we need to have consecration, spiritual consecration. It needs to also be a developing, growing, and active. I don't see a place that you come, you make this consecration, and that's the end of it. Life itself needs continual growth in consecration as life goes on, as we face different areas of our life, different events come in our life. We may have an initial consecration, but we need an ongoing consecration all along the way. I have found it to be that. So, consecration, it involves separating myself from the world. But at the same time, we need to always remember that a Christian or a saint of God cannot win the race, and I put it down this way, holding hands with the world. We're not going to be able to have the proper love or faith, and we certainly can't have the proper consecration if I'm halfway out there in the world and fellowshipping the things of the world. As Brother Dan said this morning, is there pleasure in sin? And we had to admit that there is some pleasure out there, but there's a sting, there's a price. So my consecration won't mean a whole lot if I'm fellowshipping the world. So a true child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, and I wrote it down this way, must be set apart. And that's part of our consecration. So consecration is consciously dedicating one's soul, mind, heart, and body to God. And I don't think that we just consciously have that in our mind. Well, I need to dedicate. It's something that is developing. As I see my need, God reveals to me a need for a closer walk with God. Don't we all sometimes have those places that we know we need more of God? And I don't think it matters how long we live. I think to our last breath, we're going to feel this need of God and of consecrating my life to the Lord continually. And I want to add that it's pleasing unto the Lord, your consecrations. So then I have the next step or the next level. And again, this is very pleasing unto God, and it's sacrifice. So we want to talk about sacrifice a little bit more than the other aspects of our walk with the Lord. Sacrifice really is the result of having the divine love or the faith or the consecration. It's just a result of it. And sacrifice, by definition, could be giving or offering back to the Lord what he's calling for in our lives. Sacrifice is, again, is very pleasing unto God. And sacrifices were ordained of God all down through the Bible, through the Old Testament. And I think that as we look at some of the scriptures concerning sacrifice, we can get a better understanding of how God looks at sacrifice. I'd like for us to not turn and read, just consider. I think most of us will understand this, but let's consider the animal sacrifices that God ordered for the children of Israel. Different places, but specifically I'm thinking of when they were leaving Egypt and they were faced with the final plague of the death angel passing through the land. And God commanded them to take a lamb. And the prerequisite of it, the requirement, was for the lamb to be pure, whole, not sick, not blemished. it was to be perfect. And they were to kill it and use the blood, and that was the Passover. It was the saving of their lives. And it was also, it represented something to the pointing to Christ being the Lamb of God and the without spot, without blemish, or without sin. So God looked at the sacrifices of, he asked for the best. He didn't want a lamb that was had a broken leg. He wanted this lamb to be perfect and of value. And, you know, maybe they couldn't get very much money for the lamb with the broken leg, so let's just sacrifice that one. It's going to probably die anyway. God doesn't look at it like that. He said, I want you to look among your lambs. Give me the choicest lamb. Give me the very best little lamb. I'll accept it. It will please me for you to give your best. And that's what he required. Has he changed? Does he still look at you and me in this day when we're not sacrificing sheep or animals for our sins, but that supreme sacrifice has been made and it reaches down to our day right today, still working? He gave, did God give his best? He gave his best, his only begotten son, the only one that he had. He was willing to sacrifice his life for you and me today. Thank the Lord. So God, he looks at these things and he's just isn't too pleased when we give our second best. When we don't really value, we say, well, God really doesn't care. He does care. He's looking today for us to give our best to the Lord. Sacrifice. Is there a price for sacrifice? Does it cost something for you and me to make sacrifices unto the Lord? It does. You know, the scripture tells us about a man that was wise. And it also tells us about a man that was not wise. And each of them built their house on something that they thought was fine. The man that was not wise built his house on something that would not last. But the man that was wise, he chose and he counted the cost. There's another scripture that says that they counted the cost to see if they had sufficient to finish their project. I'm going to say it that way. Do you know that you and I have a price we have to pay, and that we need to count the cost? And do I have sufficient to finish? Well, you might say, well, I don't have grace for tomorrow. We don't. But we can count the cost of it today. The cost of paying the price. So there is a price that is paid. You and I pay it to make sacrifices. This thought came to me. Oftentimes, people don't want to suffer. And we've had a number of messages concerning suffering, suffering in the flesh, suffering in our walk, the things that we go through, drawing back from that suffering. Well, I don't really want to pay the price that much. And we might even call that a bargain basement price. I don't know, most of you didn't live at Guthrie, but when I was growing up, we had a store called Lentz's. And you walked in the front door. Very rarely did my mother shop on that floor. But there were stairs that went down into the basement, and that's where you got your bargains. People want to do that in serving the Lord. I'm not willing to pay the price for the quality up here, but I can go down in the basement and I can get a bargain. You can't bargain with the Lord. Yes. It won't work. He will not smile on it. He will not be pleased. He's wanting us to pay the full price, and it'll be a blessing to us, but it will be a blessing to him. I read, as I was studying this, that God is dishonored when we offer a less costly sacrifice. So if I understand that he can be dishonored, can't I understand that he will be honored if I pay the full price? If I pay the costly sacrifice in my life, I believe he's honored, because he's not a God that wants us to cut it short. You know, you've heard, read maybe the track about your cross. Our crosses will be part of our sacrifices. And then the little track said, well, I'm going to cut my cross off a little bit. It's a little bit too heavy. I don't want it to be that big. And so along the way, the little writer of this track said, well, I think I need to cut it off a little bit more. That's what happens when we draw back from paying the full price. We'll find another place that we can cut it short. We can maybe give a little bit less. It won't cost me quite that much. So the essence of that little track was that at the end of the way, the cross was needed to cross this space there, and the cross was too short. It wouldn't reach. Well, that's just sort of an allegory. But when you and I find places that we can cut back, not pay quite the price of sacrificing before the Lord, we'll find that at the end we may be lost. Because it'll find other places that I may reason within myself. I may justify paying just a little bit less. And I'm not talking about money today. God knows what you need to sacrifice in your life. He knows what I need to sacrifice. It may not be the same, but he knows when we have given our best. Yes. When we have given the full price. He knows when we have done that. So God is worthy of our best. We have a song that we sing. We're all familiar with it. God, he is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of... And it tells the things that he's worthy. Well, what he's worthy of is us paying the full price of our consecrations, of our sacrificing unto him. Thank the Lord. So now we want to read some scripture about some sacrifices that are in the Word of God. And I'm going to do first in 2 Samuel 24, and I'm going to read different verses in the first 25 verses. So here we have David, and the scripture says that The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go and number Israel." Verse 2, the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, "Number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people." And then Joab said, "Now the Lord thy God had unto the people how many soever they be. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?" So he had someone that's trying to direct him in the right way. But nonetheless, notwithstanding the king's word, prevailed to number Israel. Skipping down to verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, "I have sinned, for I have done very foolishly." That's the last part of that verse. Verse 12. The prophet now comes to David and said, "Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one, that I may do it unto thee." So those choices were, they would have 7 years of famine upon the land, or David would flee before his enemies for 3 months. And the third one was there would be 3 days of pestilence in the land. Verse 14, David said unto Gad, the prophet, "I am in a great strait. Let us fall now in the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." And so the Lord sent this pestilence throughout Israel, and 70,000 men died. And then down into verse 16, and the angel was about to strike Jerusalem to destroy it, and the Lord repented of the evil, and he said, "It is enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, a man named Araunah. So we go down to verse 18. And it said that, "And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah." So David did according to what the Lord said. And as he approached Araunah, he looked and he saw the king coming, and he went out and he bowed himself unto the king. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to this servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here is the oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and the threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood." Verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of that which doth cost me nothing." This is a little place that I think we all need to keep in our minds. I remember one time hearing of someone. I was in our family, and I believe they had a pure heart, but they always wanted to win a contest, especially Reader's Digest. And you, those of you that may have taken Reader's Digest years ago, knows that they had these sweepstakes. And one person would win a lot of money. And oh, this person, they wanted to win that so badly. Well, they had good motives. Oh, I would pay off this among the church. I would do this in the church. I would, and it was good. This person was not wanting it for themselves. But you know, that would have been an offering that cost them nothing. God would not have been pleased. I remember hearing one minister say, I believe it was Brother Kimball, he was working with some young people, and I suppose maybe the message had been on giving. And oh, this young person, it was a good thought. Oh, if I had X amount of money, I'd give it to the Lord. He says, give the dollar that's in your pocket. Give what you have on hand. God's calling for what you have, not what you don't have. He wants to bless us by sacrificing what we have and what He's calling for. Don't you know God is calling for our sacrifices? He's looking down in our hearts. He knows our thoughts afar off. He's a discerner of our thoughts. We can have pure motives, but He knows what kind of sacrifice is best for you. Do sacrifices sometimes hurt? Well, all we have to do is just consider, we had it in a message also about the widow woman that put in just all of her living, two mites. And the Lord is standing over here and looking at that, and you know the story. He said to His disciples, she gave more than all of these others when it was only a very small amount, but it hurt. Do you think that God just said, she can give all of her living and we'll just stand back and see what she does after that? You think God did that? Can you outgive God? Can you make so great of sacrifice that God doesn't notice? Does He know our needs? He knows our needs. And He's able. He says that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. And I'm still not wanting to focus on money here. I want us to focus on those things God's wanting out of our lives to make us a greater blessing to Him. So here we have David. Some way God tempted him to do this, to bring this plague onto the children of Israel. They deserved it. They had rebelled against God. They were not being subject unto God and being obedient unto God. And God does that. When a group of people or an individual even draws back and resists the voice of the Lord and the commandments, and when we push it away and say, no, that will hurt too bad. I don't want that in my life. And then He comes back and He wants to do something to correct us, to correct our rebellion. And oftentimes we go through those things and then we have to go to the word of the Lord. Everything is going to work for my good. I believe that everything God touches in our life, everything that He calls for in our life, or calls for us to give up. And again, I'm not talking about money. I'm telling you, I know God has called for things in my life, down through my life. I've even said it to you, what a sweet and tender voice that He has. That's how I couldn't resist it. Won't you give it up for me? And it would be so precious, I would, yes, Lord. That's what the Lord is wanting. He's wanting to touch our lives and meddle in our lives, and he wants to put his finger on some things, and it might be something completely different for you than what it might be for me, but he knows us individually. He knows what will work best for me. I personally do not get up here and preach about what God has called for in my life, because you might think God's calling for that in your life when he isn't. So God, he wants a plan to work with us in a perfect way, and he wants us to be subject unto him by making the sacrifices and giving up. It's worth it. Thank the Lord. So David, he's commanded to make this sacrifice, and it was an honorable thing what Araunah said. He said, here, you can just have it all. I give you the wood for it. I give you the oxen. I give you the threshing floor. And David said, no, I'm going to pay for it, because I cannot give to God that which costs me nothing. I believe that's what should be our foundation of our giving. Don't give that which costs nothing. Now let's go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and consider another sacrifice. This to me is one of the most precious. Oh, you know, there's a number of sacrifices that are recorded in the Bible, but I think this one is so precious. It's about Abraham. So let's read. Let's read the verses of it. Chapter 22, and we're going to read some of the verses between 1 and 14. And it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham and said... And you're going to say, and we might say, well, the Bible says God does not tempt man. This tempt means he wants to prove him. And he wants to try him and test him. And you and I may be tested and tried from time to time. The Lord may see that we need it. That we may need to be tested, that we may see for ourselves what we are within ourselves. God knows us. He knows what's in there, but we don't always see ourselves. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? And I really don't like that verse, but I have to consider what it means. It means I don't always know what's in my heart. That as time goes on, as I walk with the Lord, he begins to open up my eyes and my understanding, and I see who I am and what I am. And he wants to deal with me on those grounds, so he has to send this little test. Now, I'm going to ask this little question, because I don't know of anyone in this room that has not faced or will not face in the future a trial, a test, an affliction. Did you get any good out of it? Yes. Did it change you? When the affliction came, did it drive you to your knees? Yes. It's always supposed to work that way. Lauren and I would sing this song. It was sort of one of my favorites. And it spoke about my feet would burn when I walked across the desert. It had different areas that something, but you came to your valley and it drove you to your knees. That was what it was supposed to do. So whatever God is allowing to try us and test us and prove us, let it work for your good. Allow the Lord to search you And the scripture said, and I use this in prayer, and I want you to also. Try me, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. Only God knows, and oftentimes we will not know until he puts us through the test. So that's how this is about Abraham. Now, we might know the account and we might say, well, Abraham had a heart that was turned toward God and he really didn't need it. He needed it. God needed it. So here's the story. He tells Abraham, I want you to take your only son, not your only son, but his favored son, the promised son, the one that God was going to fulfill all of the prophecies through this one son. Yes, he had another son, but this was the one that was sent from God. And so I want you to take Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering. I can't even imagine. It does not say here what Abraham thought or felt. But I think any one of us could just stop and consider. I think we could read between the lines a little bit. It really doesn't say it, but I have a feeling that Abraham was on his face. He was on his knees. And he may have been saying, God, you said this was the promised child. This was the child of my old age when it was impossible for a child to be born. And here, you want me to give him back to you? You want me to offer him? You want me to take his life? I think he went through some real trouble in his mind. It doesn't say that here. It goes on and it just said, if you read it exactly as it says, it's almost like Abraham. I'll do it today. I'm going to take Isaac. And I'm going to take these three young men with me, two of his young men with him. And I've got the wood here. I'm going to take it and for the burnt offering. And he went. That's what it sounds like. But if you put yourself in Abraham's place, what would you feel? I believe he felt that. So we're not getting the whole story. On the third day, they found the place that God was sending them. And so Abraham took the wood and the offering, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Verse 9, and Abraham built the altar. I can't even imagine the thoughts that's going through his mind as he's constructing this place that he is to take his son's life. But he built the altar. And he laid the wood in order, and then he bound his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. You know, nothing is really said here what Isaac is feeling and what Isaac might have said. And if he resisted, most feel like that he did not resist, that he understood and was willing as much as his father. Well, we don't know. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord stopped him in the nick of time. Oh, it's a beautiful account. I'm glad it's in here. Yes. I don't think any of us is going to be called to make a sacrifice greater than what we can bear. But he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. So the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you love me and you fear me." And they looked up and they saw the ram. And they offered the ram. And then I want to give you this. It said that he offered the burnt offering in the stead of his son, and he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And the reference on the side says, "It shall be provided." God will provide blessings to you and me that surpass what we can imagine when we willingly make the sacrifices in our life unto the Lord. Now you can say, "Well, I'm going to sacrifice for my family. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to spend X number of hours every week, and I probably won't get that much." That's not sacrificing. That's not the kind of sacrificing God's calling for. He knows exactly what will work for you, to bless you, and to be a glory to his name. So sacrifice is sacred. Sacred unto the Lord. Let's turn and read over in Hebrews 12 and 1. "I beseech you, brethren." I beseech you what? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Our sacrifices must be holy, and for the right reasons. Not to just make me feel real good because I have sacrificed for my family or whatever. Don't count on your personal sacrifices being what God is really calling for. He wants you to have holy sacrifices. And it says, acceptable unto God. Some of our personal sacrifices aren't necessarily counted for righteousness. Abraham believed and it was counted for righteousness. You and I must offer unto the Lord what is acceptable unto him. And we will know it. He has a still small voice. He knows how to work with you and me. When you're down praying, when you're reading your Bible, when you're driving down the road, and maybe the Lord even comes and speaks to you, you'll know what he's calling for. And then it says, it's your reasonable service. It's reasonable to offer sacrifices as unto the Lord. Our willingness to sacrifice unto the Lord our best, our first. Didn't a lot of times he ask for the firstborn of the animals? It was that first one. Because maybe they anticipated the first one the most. And he says, give it to me. We don't offer our leftovers. If we offer our best, I believe it is an indication of how much that we will honor the Lord. That we will devote ourselves to the Lord. That we will, it will show how much we love the Lord. We have a song. We sing it every once in a while here. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love in that eternal world above. That's what he wants. He wants to prove his love to us all along the way, and it's ever increasing. I mean, we increase in the knowledge of his love, and we increase in the understanding. We see his love. We come here to the services, and what was the Sunday school lesson about? The faithfulness of God, because we've lived long enough to taste of his faithfulness. We know his love, and it should excite us to love him more and more. So it will also increase our faith, and it will increase our consecrations. We have a song. Maybe we can sing it in closing. 239. And it's really a song about sacrifice. It's a song about consecration and sacrifice. And it says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And then it says, take my love and my hands and my feet and my voice, my lips, my silver, my gold, my... Now here's one that gets close. My moments and my days. That gets sort of close. Time's moving so fast, we're just barely able to get done what we can get done in a day, it seems like. It's time to go to bed again, and another day comes, and time just... Look where we are. We're almost 3 months into this year already. But do you give him your moments and your days? What about your intellect? Isn't that a good one? Give it to him. Maybe you understand that you're intelligent. You know, God has blessed us to be intelligent. He's the giver of our mind. Aren't we blessed to have our minds? It says, take my will. That's a big one. And take my heart. And then it ends up in the last verse and it says, just take me. I believe the Lord is wanting us to give him. And I want to say this, and we take it and maybe meditate on it and maybe chew on it a little bit, because I don't think that we should get under a crush. But I think that he wants us to give him more of me. Pray for me.